Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Owl's Nest. I'm your host, Matt Terry. And who do we have here at the Owl's Nest? Why, I have Frank Mayer, adjunct faculty for the cybersecurity program at Harford Community College. Frank, welcome on into the show.
Thank you, Matt. It's my honor and pleasure to be here and to be on your program today.
Frank, first of all, I just want to send out some congrats to you. Congratulations on your nomination for the Faculty Spotlight Committee.
Thank you so much. It's an honor, and I'm humbled by the honor. A lot of people at Harford do a lot of good work, and I'm fortunate that my work was acknowledged, as it's always been. Harford's wonderful about acknowledging their employees, and I'm honored to be able to be honored in this way. And I'm humbled, too, because there's so many good people we have working here. We're so blessed.
Yes, we are. Yes, indeed. And I'll be honest with you, though, HCC couldn't have asked for a better teacher, because you have worked in cybersecurity yourself prior to taking on this role for a good long time. Talk to me a little bit about your history and defending the world against cyber attacks.
Right. Well, it started, they didn't call it cybersecurity, they call it computer security. And it actually started way back when. I was commissioned an officer in the United States Army in 1979.
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you for recognizing me. I appreciate everybody saying that. It wasn't that way at that time, and we're so blessed now that all the American people, you know, recognize all us veterans, and it makes me feel really good that we're all united in that aspect of, you know, recognizing our men and women that sacrifice. And my sacrifice wasn't as great as others, but I did start in 1979, and we started with computers then, but they were very rudimentary. And I was in the United States Army Field Artillery, and the Field Artillery used a lot of computers.
Wow.
And in fact, you know, the work that went on at Aberdeen Proving Ground with the firing tables and all that, people don't know, but that played into the computers and how they started the military. But all the cybersecurity and what we did was always tangential to the actual operations. You know, you always had to consider computer security and communication security, you know, with encrypting radios and things like that, but it was very rudimentary, and it was mostly a paper drill, but like NSA took the role. The computer security that we had back in those days was very focused on single-purpose computers. When they did communicate on the network, they used software and hardware that was considered very, you know, proprietary, very, meaning that they're very much just designed for the artillery. And it wasn't, you know, like you didn't have all this interoperability we do now, we take for granted. So it was very primitive at that time. And from all those days, I went into the Army in different roles, and I went into field artillery communications. So I was a field artillery officer, but I dealt with communications. I taught the brigade signal officers course for field artillery brigade.
Wow.
So I was still an artillery officer, but I worked with the signal officers. And then I had a very long career, and I was honored upon my retirement in 2017. I retired from the military in 2006, but I continued on as a civil servant up through 2017 and retired from that. And then my lifetime work was recognized by the Secretary of the Army as a distinguished member of the Signal Regiment.
Wow.
I was honored with that. But I also went out, and during my lifetime, I spent years in the corporate world as well. So I've been very fortunate and very unique in that I've had a career in the military, a career in civil service, and a career in large corporations and medium-sized corporations. And then when I did retire in 2017, I became an adjunct professor. So I really didn't retire. I became an adjunct professor for Harford Community College, and that's my sole focus. And I enjoy doing it because it keeps me connected to the students, and also I want to help the students not just learn, but learn in the context of what they're going to face in their everyday jobs.
Absolutely.
And also to push down barriers. Because a lot of our students, you know, they didn't have the computers at home like other students do. It's not,
true.
You know, it's not even across the board.
Nope.
Every student has all the technology that some other students have. Some students have enough technology to put, you know, like a mini setup in their home, you know, with computers and routers and stuff. And other students that, you know, if they're lucky, if they have a laptop and broadband. So, you know, that's a discussion that we always have. And I went to, my whole focus in what I've been doing, and the last 3 years I've been with Hartford is trying to push down any barriers the students have and to get them to succeed and to do things a different way, to be creative, you know, and figure out how I can work with the students and meet them where they are so that they can succeed. My goal is to get every student to succeed and to pass, but to pass in a valid manner, to actually have completed the work. Unfortunately, you can't save everybody to get them through because they have situations that come up, but
sure,
always work with them. And really, I think we need to do that because there are so many jobs. It's not just in cybersecurity that go unfilled, but a lot of jobs out there are going into the information age.
Right.
And we, you know, as professors, I try to stay up on, you know, the technology. I try to go to online conferences, you know, webinars, you know, because we're kind of stuck at the house a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I try to go online, and I'm finding out that these online conferences are very helpful, and they actually give me more flexibility because I can attend, you know, conferences from across the country and see what's happening and focus on keeping myself up to date. The thing I've learned is you can never assume you know. You have to constantly learn every minute of every day in cybersecurity. It never ends.
Well,
and, you know, to be effective for the students to do a good job, I have to really study all the things that are coming out, see what's happening, see how we're changing. And things are changing dramatically, even how we refer to things, you know, because as the technology comes up, we have to adapt. And new terms, new ways of looking at things, new techniques of communicating are constantly evolving. People might not realize that because it seems kind of transparent, but there's a lot of things going on in the background, and that requires us to, you know, to love learning. You know, I don't want to be trite about it, but it's not, you know, just lifelong learning. It's beyond lifelong learning. You really have to love to learn, and just you're loving to learn just for its sake, and then you apply it to your profession. But you can't, if you look at it as a drudgery, you're never going to be good at it. Because if you really don't like doing something, you're not going to be good at it. And I found a way to, you know, love what I'm doing, to, you know, okay, this is a new challenge, and it keeps your brain active. And your brain's just like your body. If you don't exercise your body, you're going to be out of shape. If you don't exercise your brain, you're going to be out of shape too.
Exactly.
That's basically my background here. And I've been blessed to work at Hartford Community College, and I've been tremendously supported by all our leadership. You know, all our leadership here at Hartford have been fantastic people in, you know, supporting me in what I want to do as far as, you know, like the state employment advancement right now. Advanced cyber training that's done at a statewide level.
Right.
That program was set up at the state. It's, you know, a statewide level for all the community colleges. And I jumped right in on it. I've taken many of our students through that program. And that's just one example. And then we have our Gen Cyber, which is phenomenal. We have all the, and again, it's not just me. It's all the instructors are behind that. And it's from across the college that they make programs like our Gen Cyber Camp work. And, you know, Dawn Grissom's our project manager with that, you know, the Gen Cyber Camp and, you know, with cyber. And I've been working with her very closely since I got here. But, you know, all these different programs are trying to be innovative. And all our, it's not just us two, but it's all the instructors within Hartford Community College and, you know, CBAT, our division here. We're all working together. And
right.
It's really, really making it happen. It's not just me, but... You know, I love that we're really pursuing it. We are a center of academic excellence, and we're going to go for, renewing that recognition and accreditation with NSA and the Department of Homeland Security this year, you know, this coming year in 2021. And I'm just so honored to be part of something that, you know, center of academic excellence. And Hartford Community College is that, and that's something I we try to advertise, but something that the community really needs to know, that our college is, you know, right up there with offering the best program. And I'm just humbled and honored to be part of that. I mean, that's awesome.
Right. I mean, this is a magnet course, really, because this is a very growing field. It's a very important field. And I'm thrilled that you're giving these students these real world experiences. You know, you're not pulling any punches. You're showing them exactly what it is that they need to expect when they are actually in the job, in the role. Now, on that subject, what can students expect as far as daily class activities, what's some of the normal course objectives when they sign up for this course?
Well, when they sign up for the course and the curriculum, what the objective is to be able to assess the risk. In other words, do the technical work, the scanning, the checking of the configurations, you know, looking at the architecture, doing all the technical work, but then taking that technical work and taking at the assessment that you get and looking at the overall risk. Physical security is part of it, so that's the traditional security, and technical security, like what the configurations are. You know, is your software up to date? Are you patching and fixing it like you're used to? We all get those patches. Is that applied? But also, how you designed it. Did you design it right? Did you set up the authentication and access control measures correctly? And then doing the thinking work, the critical thinking where, okay, what level of risk does this represent? How can I manage that risk and lower the risk? So it's all those skills are important, not just technical skills, but it's thinking skills, it's communicating skills, because you have to communicate the risk to senior managers, and then you have to communicate how we're going to address the risk to the whole workforce in any organization. This is what you have to do. And I did that in the Army extensively, obviously, so I teach it. So the students have to look holistically, and then they have to do hands-on. So it's not just memorizing facts. The community-wide, throughout the entire community, worldwide, the expectation is it's not good enough just to memorize facts. It's not death by PowerPoint slides. It's not memorizing a bunch of stuff. You have to. It's beyond that. The way you really are able to answer the question is the certification exams, and when you go to work, it's all about, you know, situational based. In other words, you get a scenario, and you have to think through the scenario. So every day when they get assignments, they're going to have to look, okay, here's the scenario we're talking about. You're going to have online labs that are hands-on, and you have to do the hands-on, and that's a big deal, and you go through that drill. Okay. So in anything you do in cybersecurity, you know, which is, you know, what they call information assurance, they're not the same. There's a technical difference. Anytime you deal with security, you have to look at the whole picture. You have to be able to do hands-on. So you have to be able to think, analyze, write, and then have technical skills and abilities hands-on. And that's for everybody. So the students have to be able to jump right in there and just do it. Just do the labs and go through the labs and say, okay, I didn't do that right. Then let me go back and correct it. And that's one of the things with this competency-based education that we're going on. It's company-based. Sometimes it's termed competency-based master learning, other times just competency-based. But they say CBML, that's a terminology. But the focus for students to get away from the jargon is competence. Right. Do you have competence in doing these things, assessing the risk, doing risk management, then communicating what level of risk, and then communicating what things we need to do to lower that risk. Critical thinking type skills, using that in those terms, and then you have to be able to communicate that to everybody in terms that everybody can understand. So you have to know how to communicate with people and, you know, avoid a lot of jargon. Because those of us in the information technology field and the cybersecurity field have a bad habit of, piling on these acronyms and jargon, and that, through my long career, I found out if you lose the leadership and you can't explain to the leadership what has to be done, you're going to be lost. To make our students employment ready, making sure that they're not only technically proficient, but they're proficient from a business sense and from an operational sense, so they can explain things to people to get people to act in a way, because all the people are involved in security, it's everybody's business, to reduce risk. So we have to learn how to communicate. And that's hard, because you can't just be a techie. And that's what the students will face when they go to class. They have to be both.
So on that, I just want to capitalize that a little bit further. Before they sign up, before they get to your class, Frank, talk to me. Is there some prerequisites that they should have under their belt before they think about getting into cybersecurity?
Well, yes, they should. You know, before they get to the courses I teach, they should have, like, basic IT skills.
Okay.
And, you know, how to use the computer. They should, you know, have skills on, you know, getting online and then following instructions in a lab. You know, some of the fundamentals course I teach, the one level, you know, the first level, or what they call the information system security, you know, 105, which is the introduction to cybersecurity and information assurance. The 105 are the very basic level courses. You know, they have to be able to understand the information sciences at the you know, the introductory level, you know, like our 102 level courses, you know, CIS courses, which is, you know, computers, you know, science or computer information science, those level courses, the lower level courses, to understand, you know, basically how computers work, some concepts of them. And then when they come into, you know, where we're now going to focus on cybersecurity, they're familiar with a lot of those terms. But, again, we have to meet the students where they were. Let's say they don't have all that. Then you have to spend time, and you have to have study sessions. That's why, you know, I conduct study sessions twice a week, and I've been doing this for a while, you know, where they meet me at, like, online. They meet me at 6 o'clock, you know, in the evening online, like Mondays and, you know, Wednesday. I make it in the afternoon. So I try to adjust it so we have different times so students can make it. That's why I do it twice a week. And then we have different topics, and we discuss it so that students can connect, you know, in a group where they don't have to seek out the help just by themselves. But I want them to do that, too, so I can work with them one-on-one to get them over that. Because my whole thing is we as teachers and educators and professors have to knock down the barriers.
Right, right, absolutely.
You know, we would like them to have certain skills, but the beauty of community college and why I really love working at a community college level is we're going to push down those barriers for our students and work on it together to get them past it. Yes, I mentioned some things that would be good for them to have, but I don't want, you know, just to discount the student and say, well, you know, you don't know this, well, sorry about that. We can't have that attitude. We have to have, if you really have the desire, we'll give you the time to catch up. And yes, they should have certain skills, but I feel that if the student really has the desire to work with us and, you know, will be patient to sit down and participate some of the sessions and not be frustrated, that eventually they can overcome things that they don't know. Believe me, every day we have to look at it that all of us, including people who are professionals, I'm a certified information system security professional, you know, been in the business for many, many years, but every day I learn something new myself. That's how we have to approach it. We have to say, you're on a journey. You know, being a cybersecurity professional is not a sprint. It's a marathon, just like anything else.
Right. It takes a while to get there.
In fact, when you fully retire, you're not going to retire. That's what I found out. Retiree, that's not going to happen. So if you want to be in life, you got to just keep learning. And that once the students get that in their mind, I feel they will be fantastic. They'll enjoy it. And that's what I learned. I got my graduate degree when I was in my when I was middle age. I was in my late 40s, and I'm still learning, and I'm still, you know, I have to keep up with my profession. I have to get continuing professional education in cybersecurity. I do it every year. I'm going to conferences. I'm going to learning sessions. I have to do, like, online classes myself just to keep my certification up, and that's what's required in the profession. So I think that will be required for all professions, and that's what I see.
So never stop learning and learn how to communicate effectively.
Right.
Those are two really big things that I'm pulling from what you're saying, because like you said, if you can't communicate what's going wrong, that could be an issue right there in the cybersecurity field. Let me ask you this quick question, Frank, while I still have you. What are the kinds of threats out there every day? There are some bad actors out there, and they prey upon information. How do we, people who are not necessarily in cybersecurity, how do we defend ourselves?
Well, the way that the everyday person defends themselves is through critical thinking. If it, you know, if somebody comes at you and it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Right.
We need to keep everything updated, just like you change the oil in your car. Nobody would run around with bald tires or not changing the oil in their car. Well, you got to keep your cell phone patched. You got to keep your computer patched. You got to do all the maintenance updates, because all this technology needs maintenance. And just like a good driver goes around and checks their car, a good user of the internet, a good user of all this technology checks it, you know, just does a quick check online. Okay, am I doing the secure things? Look at the basic steps to be secure. And believe it or not, National Security Agency and many other agencies like the Federal Trade Commission, you name it, they put out little guides. There's guides that come from different organizations that tell the everyday person on steps to take to be secure. And these things are put out. So, you know, just do a little research online and just look at, okay, if you know, some security guidelines. And be careful with the email. Don't trust everything you see on email. Don't, you know, make sure that you keep your system up to date. You know, don't post things online that, you know, you can't back up and that you wouldn't say in the New York Times. The biggest thing, like when using computers or dealing with it, we have to get away from, you know, fantasizing about what a computer does. A computer is just like you interact in the physical world, like the normal world. You would be a little bit cautious, right?
Sure.
You wouldn't give somebody the keys to your car and just say, oh, yeah, go ahead and borrow it. You wouldn't just sign on to anything anybody tells you. Oh, would you like to buy this? You don't do that in the real world. You don't just buy anything anybody offers you.
Right.
At it critically. We have to apply the same good common sense that people have in their everyday lives in the physical world to the virtual world and not make it, you know, I'm going to be, you know, anonymous. There's no such thing as anonymous. Anybody who really understands computer security is there's no way, you know, you are totally anonymous because everything can be tracked back to you, whether people think it or not, and that's why you have to behave on the Internet just like you would in the physical world. You know, you have to be a good citizen on the Internet. You have to follow the laws on the Internet. If you wouldn't do something in the physical world, you don't do it on the Internet. If you wouldn't say something, you know, and put it in the New York Times, don't put that on the Internet.
Right.
And that's what I say to our young people and to all our people. Don't say things on the Internet thinking you're anonymous and just because you use a name. People can figure things out.
Sure.
And we need to just, if you act and behave with the civility you would face-to-face with a person, then you're going to be good. And the same thing goes if you don't go looking for trouble and you try to be careful and you take the same care when you do business online that you would do if you did it physically.
Right. Exactly. Civility. Always civility. Right. Not just in your home, but everywhere you go. That's one of the values, I think, that you're teaching your students, and you're teaching them so much more. Frank, we are so fortunate to have you here at Harford Community College, and I want to thank you so much for coming on to the Owl's Nest. If I could, I want to ask you one last question, because it's something that I get students asking me a lot is, where do I go from here? I have this degree. I know I heard you mention the NSA, the National Security Agency, but that's just, you know, one particular institution. And I know that you had worked both in the military and in the corporate world. What are some of the career paths, some of the agencies or organizations that students can or should look for when they get that piece of paper, that diploma that tells them that they're a cybersecurity expert?
That's why we have career navigation, because you have to look at their specific interests. And there is, you go through all the corporations. There's a lot of civilian work being done, not just in the government-related, but in the civilian world, like Verizon or M&T Bank. Cybersecurity is throughout everything, and it's increasing that even small businesses have a need for that. You have to keep an open mind and get and connect with a mentor, and I am a mentor for students. I'm available. But that's why we have a navigation program. And then find people in the industry by going to clubs. Like we have, I'm the membership chair of ISC2 in the local Aberdeen area, just one of many. But go to, like, professional organizations. We have FCU, we have USAA, we have different organizations, right, professional organizations, and network. And you have to network with people so that your specific desires, your specific needs, where you want to go in your career, somebody can guide you. It has to be custom. There's no shotgun blast that you can put out to people and say, do that. And you made up a good point. It's not just NSA. I'm just bringing that up because people know about it.
Sure.
But the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Food and Drug Administration, all the organizations, all the government agencies have a need for information technology and cybersecurity people. And you have to be willing to go to these different organizations, ask the questions, and then try to find a mentor and just ask people in the profession like myself, hey, can you help me? And you'd be surprised when people ask, they find a good mentor, and then the mentor works with them, you know, they can point them in the right direction. And plus, you get to know your mentor, and that person can recommend you to somebody, because everybody needs to get custom guidance. There's no cookie-cutter solution is the bottom line answer.
Well, I'll tell you what, Frank, you're passionate about what you do. You've seen the evolution of the technology, and I can't think of a better person to start with to help mentor me for cybersecurity than you. I want to thank you so much for coming on to the Owl's Nest. I've got to have you back again soon.
All right, thank you for having me. An honor to be part of Hartford Community Gouge. I'm getting as much as I'm giving, believe me.
It so, sounds like it.
It's an honor to be on your program and to be recognized by the college, and I'm very honored even to be able to work here at Hartford Community College. It's an honor and privilege to be able to teach and mentor students.
Well, Frank, thanks so much for coming. We're going to have you back on to the Owl's Nest again really soon. His name is Frank Mayer. He's adjunct faculty for cybersecurity program here at Hartford Community College. That's all the time we have right now for the Owl's Nest. I've been your host, Matt Terry. And until next time, stay curious.